Hey guys, and welcome to this new community call of the Light Leaders. Today we have as our special guest Tim Gentoz. I hope I say that correctly. And it's going to be an exciting one. We'll go a little bit deeper into, let's say, more unusual territories even than the Fruit Cheyenne and the Raw Vegan, because we'll also go into urine therapy and breath ionism. I understand it's interests of yours, Tim. I haven't dived so much personally, but yeah, it's going to be a great conversation. So I'd be happy to, yeah, to start with a little intro, if you can do from yourself, maybe just 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah, so it's hard to break down your entire life in a few seconds, but let's just make it simple. You know, like we all were born innocent, as innocent souls came here into this plane, onto this realm, and we chose every learning lesson here, the whole game we chose for ourselves to learn, to grow, to remember, to ascend, to return to our unique blueprint. And you know, like I just remember, I was the first 14 years I was growing up into like next to a forest. My parents gave me so much freedom, my brother and me, to play, to have no boundaries, no restriction. They called us for food after 6 hours in the forest. And you know, like then we went into the school, kindergarten, institutions, and we learned all these fucking lessons, all these restrictions, all these rules, all these frameworks. And you kind of forgot who you were in the beginning, you know? You like kind of like questioned, who am I? What is going on here? What is this life about? And then you started to question, to question, to question from politics, religion, societal frameworks, everything. And then you went into the conspiracies, everything, right? Layer after layer after layer after layer. So it's like, in the end, I remember when I looked around and I was somewhere around 20 when I studied, I was looking around and I was looking at the people and I saw like nearly everybody's sick. Everybody's sick. And if I have questions, nobody can answer me really like to the straight point, what's going on? Nobody. So I thought like, damn, if I don't take care of myself now, nobody ever will take care of me. And I really realized I'm responsible for my own reality and I choose to be healthy. I choose to be free. And I yearn with all my heart and my soul freedom. And then the journey began, you know. I started interval fasting. I started to learn about internal hygiene. Nobody taught me about internal hygiene, only external hygiene, creams, masks, going to the hair cutter and all that shit. But the internal hygiene, I didn't learn. And then I realized, damn, all these intestines, all these organs, they want to be cleansed. They are our friends. So I did all kinds of healing modalities over many years, from OMAD, urine looping, the Anthony Williams stuff, or like the celery juicing, blueberry stuff, liver cleansings from this Moritz, I think, from the German guy, enemas and colonics. I don't know, you know, like there's so much stuff, right? There's so many different healing modalities and whatnot. But after all these years, okay, the urine came only later. After all these years, I was on a bike journey from Germany somewhere to Portugal, and there was a lot of time with myself, and I realized somehow like my heart yearned after listening to thousands of hours of podcasts from raw vegan debates to vegetarian, veganism, all this stuff. And I was like, damn, this information, everyone has a different perspective, but it's all not the truth. They only all talk bullshit. It's not simple enough. I thought this is not simple enough. And I yearn to have it simple. Life is not so complicated as we make it with the minds. And it seems like nearly a debate, what diet is best, what this protein B12, I found it all so fake, you know? And then I was really asking the source and myself, okay, please give me a simple answer, you know? And then I was in front of a supermarket and I was making an experiment with no money. So I was begging for fruits and stuff. And a guy came and laughed, had a nice smile, and he told me about distilled water and urine therapy. And it was not by random that he was called Tim as well. And that was for me the divine confirmation that he is the source, confirmed for me this is the simple tool you need to use for your life. Then I started to implement it, went mostly raw vegan, started the first like 1 month juice fasting. Then all the information came to me. Dry fasting, breatharianism, immortality, all that stuff. Like I'm getting even goosebumps right now. It's crazy, you know? And like I also stopped investing in health insurance and that returned to me. So that self-investment in my life was accelerating my process, was accelerating because everywhere your energy, where your intention goes, energy flows. So when you invest in yourself, automatically life will return to you all that you wish from your heart, right? So you have to cut out all the bullshit and the fake investments of your energy. So it's about energy management. Anyway, urine was a massive game changer. I didn't need to drink any other water anymore. Okay, first I drank still distilled water. I was fascinated by it. Got a distilled water, like this machine, right? Tried it out with a lot of things. But then later, the less I ate cooked food, the more I became fruitarian, the more water I had. And the more I understood the mechanism that we don't need any external water sources anymore, then... You know, you could only survive is the wrong term. You could only drink your own urine, looping it and eating the fruits. And right now, for example, if I stop eating at 6 p.m., I still have to piss 5 times in the night. And this is how much water you still have. That shows me, even if I stop at 5 or 4:30, I still have to pee so much. So I have an abundance and excess of hydration. So there's a starvation lie. There's a hydration lie. The hydration lie is a little bit more tricky. The hydration lie is saying you are not hydrated enough yet. You should start. You should drink more. Start like a little bit more juice and celery in this and this. Oh my God, I'm afraid I'm not hydrated enough. At a certain point, you have to know that it's another program and you have to realize you are hydrated enough. Yeah. And right now I'm at a point where I'm, since 2 years, approximately dry fasting 16 hours on average, but it stretches to 18, 20. Sometimes it's even 12, 13, 14. It really depends on the day, your emotional day, and where your body guides you. So I'm all for the body instinct and like the wisdom your body shows you. Not going from a mental restriction point. There are two modes of operation. One mode is the mode of restriction. One mode is the second mode is the organic one, which is the mode of curiosity and excitement. If you choose the path of restriction, you will get always into, you will always fall back into binging. You will fall back into punishing yourself and replacing your restriction, your hardness with yourself in all kinds of ways. If you, this is the middle finger, if you choose the path of excitement, if you choose the path of excitement, then you are aligned with your emotions, mental, and your body rhythm. Because some also say the body is the soul. And the body, when you, for example, get lost in reality and you check where your body is, it always returns you back to reality as it is. And the body, when you follow the body, your organic excitement, then you are balanced, and you don't fall into the binging stuff anymore. I had tons of experience with binging. I was restricting myself. I said, okay, 10 days juice. I have to do this, you know. I have to go breatharian as fast as possible. Or dry fasting. Try to make some crazy fasting schedules for myself. Or I don't allow this. Or this is bad. This is bad. This is bad. Bam. Few next days, binging. Binging, 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 binging. Felt bad. Punished myself, kind of, you know, like mentally. Oh, this is not good. This is not bad. What? And so on, you know. So then, only recently, after the last month, like I'm getting more and more into balance, and the binging actually fall away because now I'm following the organic flow. I'm following the organic excitement. And this, like, there you can really see when you restrict yourself how much, what kind of impact it can have on your life. And now, everything I say is not a dogma. It's not another recipe. It's not a strict, rigid rule. It's just my personal intuitive way where I am at right now. I even have moments where I allow myself everything I want from my body, you know? When my body says, I want to eat a vegan pizza with my family right now, there is one in our village, and it's one of my last little sin meals where I occasionally would go with my family just for that, you know, just stopping everything, allowing myself this moment, and then you let it go naturally. I had the same with vegetarian, with veganism, right? We, like, even when we were small kids, we got fed with meat and stuff. Then you stopped that. Then you said, okay, milk. You wanted to remove it step by step. It all came organically from your life flow. And now we do the same. And what we do here right now is returning or reversing the biggest addiction in society as it is today. If you control the tongue, you control all other senses of life and therefore your reality. They said it in the Bhagavad Gita as well. If you control the tongue is also related to sexual sexuality, to all the other senses. And, you know, like all the people, if you check around, like gluttony is, well, it's so common here, right? 95%, if you look around, nearly all are obese, sick, diseased, degenerated, and somehow walking in a, like, kind of zombie mode. And forgetting themselves to a large extent. So this is a real fight for your soul, fight for your sanity, and smithening your mind and your alignment and your balancing your entire life. This is really serious. At the same time, they say non-duality, right? It all doesn't matter. No, it really does matter. It does matter and it doesn't. It's very serious. Everything you do, every decision you do in your life has such a big impact. If you now choose to forget yourself, to degenerate, to age, you will have the consequences of that, and you will suffer. You will have the pain and everything. And then people say, oh, this doesn't matter. It does matter. It really does matter. Yeah, I'm just going here on some intuitive flows, you know. So what I wanted to say is, a few months ago, I had, for example, the ice cream, right? Yeah, we all know it's shit. They use the tap water and stuff. All the ice cream shit is actually all bullshit. But there are many facets of this entire breatharian path. You can't just say, oh, this is bad from the mental perspective, and then say, oh, I don't get it. There is the emotional level as well and the body level as well. And if you check your entire childhood, you have very many strings attached with memories. And, you know, so it's a holistic process. It's not just a mental process. If it's just a mental process, then everyone will be already there. So I just want to make that example. When I had that ice cream, I had this one ice cream, which I still liked. It was a dark chocolate ice cream. And I was like trying it over and over and over and over until I didn't want it anymore. And my tongue said, this doesn't taste good anymore. And this is actually what I'm doing all the time. If I'm excited for something, I'm going for it. I'm trying it out until I don't want it anymore. And your taste buds change as well. With the urine, you become more sensitive. You can't even eat melons anymore with pesticides. You really become so sensitive that your body tells you what you want and what you don't want. So what I just want to say, this is a path of freedom, path of effortlessness, and path of joy and excitement, and not the path of restriction and hardness on your soul, hardness on your emotions, and hardness on yourself. You are a pioneer here to heal yourself, to heal your bloodline, to heal, to have clarity in your mind, to finally free the avatar here from you, the one you chose in this life. And you can now choose to live forever in such a beautiful way. And this is just the start for an absolutely magnificent realm that is now opened up for you. And breatharianism is just the beginning, basic foundation of that. Because breatharianism, you can't cheat yourself. That's the beauty in the pranic living. If you go with energy flow and energy management, you cannot cheat yourself. The moment you cheat yourself in the emotional body or in the mental body, your entire balance will fall off and you will go back into binging, going back 4 or 5 steps, boom. You have to go fully honest with all your levels, with all your bodies. Only then you are balanced, and then only the pranic flow can be sustained in that sense. I think in the Taoistic scriptures, they say, if one body level, if one body layer is off balance, your entire balance falls off. And that's where it clearly goes. You have to figure out, where do you trash yourself in your mind? Where do you trash yourself in your emotions? Where don't you truly listen to yourself? Where do you still sabotage your life? Where do you still sabotage your innocent child? Like, are you not playing maybe in the park and doing crazy kind of movements only because you think some people look at you? And you don't do that, that is sabotage. You sabotage your body movement, you sabotage your innocent child. You know, like that's how far it goes. We have to look at all ways. It's really like truly becoming innocent again and truly honest. If someone says something to you and you don't want it, you directly say, no, I don't want it. It's not my thing. Or when someone says to you a superficial question you don't want to answer 1,000 times, and like saying, hey, how are you? How is your family? But truly they are stuck in some loops, in some societal programs. And I say, no, you know, I'm not interested. Just to talk about this, let's focus on the now. Let's focus here, you know. So, this was maybe a short intro into why this entire process is truly this, the return to the entire truth of yourself. And, you know, I realized more and more and more, breatharianism, immortality is two things. You can have, first, you can have breatharianism and pranic living. Breatharianism is still dependent on solar energy and breath. That's why you can see they are dependent and they do all the boot camp work with the breathing. But this is all forced. Also, the sun, oh, the sun, the sun, the sun. You are the sun. You have a solar plexus in your, in here, in your chest, right? The sun, soul. And then you go into not breatharianism, pranic living. Pranic living is from the source energy generated by your mitochondria. And they didn't even figure out how it works. Like, if you eat, it steals more energy from you than you would get. That's the funny thing. Like, scientists can't explain you that, you know?
Hey, Tim, can I pause you for a second?
Please.
I'd love, because the point also of this is to have like question and answer. Mm. So I'd love to make it slightly more interactive.
Yeah, cozy. Sorry.
but thank you so much, man. And we're excited to have you. Before I'll open the other questions, but I have one which is, let's say in the that's something I've found in the maybe Brazilian world especially, is let's say for everything I love to learn from people I feel have the experience of it and have really embodied it, right? So for example, when it comes to being a fruitarian or raw vegan, if I listen to Doug Graham or Lauren Lachman or Josh X or this type of people, I'm like, okay, they've been doing it consistently, like Luca Ronna, Gabriel Cousins, for sometimes 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. And they speak from experience of, they've read a lot of books, but they also speak from experience of how it feels like. And in the Brazilian world, it's something where I feel it's been hard to find for me. So my question to you would be, like, when you speak about this, what is your experience of pranic living on a personal level to start with? And also, if you have some people you really trust that have been big influences for you.
Good question. So in the end, we are all already pranic since our birth, right? So the first and the only source you should ever trust is yourself. If you still need evidence from other people, you don't trust yourself. If you still need evidence, scientific explanations, then there's a lack of trust in your own experience. And we have to define what is living on prana then. What would you trust? What is a source that is like something which is proven for you to be, this is it, right? You can, okay, so I go first in my own experience. So I ate my whole life, even until today, right? But it's getting less and less the more realizations you have. So it started from the meat, vegetarianism, veganism, mostly raw, fruitarian. It's just becoming lighter and lighter and lighter, right? So this is my personal experience right now, that by transitioning all these diets, I can see that I'm functioning way better, that you need less sleep. You don't get sunburns, you have less muscle fatigue, and so on and so forth. So my personal experience, I can't tell you when I turned officially breatharianism, because there's no point like this. There is only the point that we always have been breatharians, only that most people forgot. But I can tell you that 3 years ago, the idea came back to my life, and I realized it consciously again that we truly are. But as a child, I tell you, I always left it open. I never believed the restrictions and limitations of other people. So I never would say, oh, we can't do this, we can't do this. So my innocent being always stayed open that we are breatharians, or that it's possible, or that everything is possible. Yeah, so but 3 years ago, it came consciously more the idea back into my realm. And now I'm, let's say, have the vision of that we can go really without food and drinking more direct and more consciously. Okay, now to the second question. If I know someone who is living without food and liquids, you know, I was at the Pranic festival in Italy, and there was Ellie Tom, for example. He was a very interesting case. He talked and talked until the night, 4 o'clock, had a little sleeping bag, just chilled down on the hard stone, you know, like just slept there a little bit, like 2, 3 hours. That's it. And he was so full of energy, so radiant, incredible, like, you know. And I had many talks with many people there who were 5 years on liquid. Then there was here the breatharian Yogini. There was Jerome Shaw. All people shared their experiences, and yeah, I don't know, like, but when you say Yeah, I'm trusting all of these people, I have to say, in their own way, you know, like not that I take their word for granted or for 100%. To be skeptical is always good. I can tell you I'm just trusting myself. I don't know about others of in the end how much they really do it. I am not observing the light with a 24-hour camera. I only can speak for myself. But I don't need the evidence from others, but I also have trust in the path of others. That's what I feel. From my personal friends, what they do, I can see their, I can see their discipline, I can see their improvement, their clarity, right? You can see it in the eyes, in the skin, everything what they do, you share your experience. So I don't know that if to your second question, that would be my personal experience with the Breatharians or the people, right? Yeah. I hope that was a good enough answer. I don't know. Yeah.
Hi Tim. I'm just wondering, so at your current stage, obviously each day varies a bit, but what would you say you typically eat on a day or drink on a day? And kind of like, what time do you go to bed? What time do you wake up? I'm quite interested in how like maybe your sleep's changed as you've reduced the amount of food and things like that. So yeah, just what you're currently eating, drinking, like your rising times, things like that. I'm quite fascinated in that.
Okay, you opened quite an awesome topic here. Wait, I'm shortly beginning. So right now I'm dry fasting 16 to 18 hours approximately, right? But it can change and vary every day to the emotional state you are in, right? So I mostly try to stop eating at 6 p.m. in the evening and then go till 12 o'clock in the midday the next day. You know, so sometimes it can be 11, 11:30, 12. Sometimes I stretch it to 1 or 2. Then you do something and distract yourself with different things, and then it's easier, right? Then I was eating a lot of melons the last month because I really like melons, watermelons especially. But now the season is off or is done. Now I'm getting more grapes, grapes with seeds, the darker ones. And I'm just eating fruits, which are now seasonal, now it's pears. But I'm just trying to get to liquefy, you know, just like nice things that I enjoy that are, yeah, that I'm excited about. And they change with the seasons. Mango season is also here now off in Europe, you know. I really love tomatoes. So what I did mostly was eating fruits, which I'm excited about, like maybe three, four of your the top choice of yours. Then in the evening, I have like some light cooked or steamed meal like zucchini or champignons. They are all very liquefied, right? Over 90% they are water mostly, and tomatoes. And then it's just for the emotional warmth. I see it's for me sometimes easier if I have something like lightly warm in the evening. It has something to do with the day and the night, maybe. And I left out recently for 7 weeks ago, but it was also a longer process over the last years to leave out more and more the salt, the sugars, and the oils. But 7 weeks ago, approximately, I really realized we have to leave out all the salts, the oils, and the sugars. Now, the only fat I am consuming, or not the fat consuming, is 100% hazelnut cream. It's like, you know, that's what I'm enjoying right now with some dates. Yeah, and that's basically it, you know. So I'm varying the fruits. I have always like three to four fruits, which I really like. And then I'm eating them. And then the midday, maybe some dates with the hazelnut. And in the evening, some cucumber, tomato, you know, everything very liquidy. Yeah, that's basically it. And to the sleep, now we come to a real point. Okay, so far, I have to say I slept all my life around 8 hours. I can see I'm way more energized now in the morning. It's easier to wake up and stuff, but actually now comes here the fucking real deal. We don't need to sleep. We don't need to sleep, and sleep is the master fucking key to break out of this matrix. And I realized it only very recently, and I'm not there yet. I slept like everyone normally, 8 hours. But now I realize it's just another addiction. It's an addiction. You will find all kinds of information about breatharianism, pranic living on YouTube. But check, not sleeping, check. You will find nearly nothing. You will find something about autonomous lifestyle from Anastasia Zilevich, maybe, and some other people, but not much. Why? Because it is so very simple. It will change your entire life to such an extent that that you break out of the matrix. I know it's a very abused term, but you will break out of it in the way that you will not be in the frames of what was given to you anymore. Like every other habit.
I don't know if on that topic, there's a really good book. I don't know if you've read it, called Return to the Brain of Eden. And they actually have a pretty scientific approach to sleep deprivation. I don't know if some of you have read it here.
How is that called? I will write it down.
Return to the Brain of Eden. You will love this one. It's the one I read just after one. You probably read Man's Higher Consciousness.
Can you put it in the chat?
Yeah, I'll put it in the chat. Tony Wright is the author. And there's, you probably follow Chris Manley, right? That's someone I'd love to have on this also. He's declined for now, but we'll see.
Okay, very interesting. Thank you. Okay, and what I want to say is sleep is the next thing. So immortality, pranic living, and not sleeping. Not sleeping is now coming into such an excitement for me that I will probably try it out over the next weeks. Let's see. But I feel so drawn to it. My soul feels so drawn to it to now try it because, you know, like, I don't know. It's just incredible. It's incredible. Like, people who, for example, there are villages in Kazakhstan and stuff where they don't know that you need to sleep and they don't sleep. It's like also very famous people like JFK and many other people, Einstein, Tesla, and so on, they didn't sleep for long, very, very little. It's all the same. But they don't, for example, then there's this guy, the millionaire or billionaire, Brian Johnson, he's talking about this, right, immortality and stuff, but they, for me, are somehow, I'm very skeptical about them. Very suspicious, because they just know that people are now ready to move into these topics for themselves, and they invert these topics and give the people false knowledge. I just saw a video on YouTube where Brian Johnson said sleeping less than 8 hours is very dangerous. You see, there's inversion. There they want to put the programs in you while they talk about immortality. What they talk about is fucking fake immortality. I don't believe them at like zero. Zero. Puppets.
So do you think it's possible to not sleep at all then?
Yeah, 100%.
Because if you look at... So you were saying Elatom, he sleeps maybe a couple of hours at the most.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know his life experience, you know, but what I saw in that one day... 2 hours, 3 hours, you know.
And how do you think, what do you think about like the circadian rhythm and the sun? So obviously when it's dark, what do you think we'd be doing instead of sleeping as in nature? Like,
I love your questions, man, because it's so beautiful. Right now, we don't have nearly a relationship anymore with the moon, with our night, with our feminine approach to life. And when you are awake and consciousness in the night, you build again the very connection to your own divine feminine motherhood. And as well, you become very sensitive to your creativity, to all the potentials of the female aspect of life is happening in the darkness. Your creativity is accelerating to such a degree that most people will not grasp right now until they probably not sleep, you know? I just recently listened to an interview and she was not sleeping for 8 months, not 1 minute. Not 1 minute. And you know, it's just incredible. We are so habitualized, so addicted to sleep. Actually, if like today I woke up, I felt like a fucking hangover. Actually, sleeping is a hangover. Every day you wake up, it's like a hangover. You remove your excitement from the day before and you remove it. And then you try like to wake up. Oh my God, you know, today is this day. Okay, let's do something. And you're trying to build your excitement again, right? But before the day you had it already. It's like a continuous flow. You don't interrupt and sabotage your flow anymore. It's just incredible. And one thing, you break out of the cycles of time, cyclicality. You break out of the cycles because there is no yesterday, there is no tomorrow, there's only now, forever, truly immortal. That's what not sleeping does to your life. You truly become very consciousness. And now people tell me, because I'm so excited right now and passionate about it, people could tell me, same with breatharianism. Hey, how far are you? Are you 20 days breatharian already? Otherwise, you can't talk about it. Did you not sleep already? You can't talk about it. Bullshit. Our soul knows everything already. And my entire fucking vessel resonates to 100% with it. And we probably experienced it multiple thousands of times already in many lives. And that's why I can talk about it like you can too. If you trust yourself. Yeah. We can't
Alex,
hear you.
The microphone. Yeah. Yes, regarding that topic, as consciousness, you know, I know that I've been breatharian before and I will be, and same with the sleeping. I think anything we can imagine is possible, and that this material reality comes from consciousness ultimately. However, in terms of if it's desirable, it's like, let's say, okay, my question would be, how would you approach not sleeping? Because my kind of experience is that when I was like to not sleep and to not eat, you gotta be ready, because a lot of our time is spent sleeping and a lot of that time is spent eating, especially if you take into account preparing the food and all that's a lot of time. When I fasted for 2 weeks, I was really bored and I was sleeping less, and that made me even more bored. So I feel to not sleep and to not eat, you have to be in a state of presence and no desire and acceptance of what is, that is very monk-like. So sometimes when I think about breatharianism and I think about not sleeping, is the way to not sleep to try not to sleep, or is it to meditate more and to be in such in a place of presence and satisfaction that you can handle the no sleep? Do you know what I mean? I feel like if I try to not sleep now, it's going to be really hard. It's going to be a real challenge. And well, if I focus on being in a state of consciousness of ever presence, then maybe I don't need to sleep because I enjoy every second.
You nailed it. Because why are people sleeping? What are they afraid of? There's only one thing. They are afraid to be with themselves. If you are ready to face yourself, to face all of the emotions of life with yourself at any time, then no sleep is the tool for you to truly be one with yourself. And I think it will be drawn to your life at the right moment in time. For me, it comes now. And I'm really, really drawn to it. And I'm asking myself the same question, you know? I'm asking myself the same question. What do I do in the night when I don't sleep anymore? I have to create. And this is where the creativity starts. This is where you reinvent yourself to such a degree that you see that everything else you did before was actually like a very dulled down frame. And it's an explosion of your soul. It's an explosion of playfulness.
I have a little personal experience around this, and I really like that you said that people like Tesla and Einstein, because when I was like, and creativity too, because I do tend to be up at night. That's something that I personally have experienced especially when I'm fruitarian. I'll start to sleep like 4 hours and I get all this inspiration. And I think there's something around that excitement to like bring something to this world creatively, like almost like, and the moon actually has a lot to do with like your receptive mind. I think it's, I don't know, all of this kind of came to me, but yeah. it's very interesting. And I think it's something that it almost has to come from within first. Like you have to kind of get excited about what you can create and what you can bring so much that you don't have time for sleep. Who has time to, you just want to bring it that much into reality. And it's only now, you know, like that.
Exactly, Zoe. You know, like, first, this no sleep is only really if it comes, if it's for you exciting. If it's like restricting you, oh, I can't sleep, I shouldn't sleep, then no, it's not good. It's not good, then you will suffer and stuff, you know? So only do it when you're truly excited. The same with breatharianism. Some people want to eat their whole lives. So then don't go into breatharianism, you know? But we have to see the times of the times right now. People are, from the consciousness, so lowered. It's truly hell, actually, you know? It's hell and paradise at the same time. It's like, it's a bridge right now. And like Zoe said, this creation aspect, people forgot themselves to such a degree that they want to forget themselves in the night. The creativity, their own creatorship, they want to escape reality. And actually, food was an escape. Aging is an escape. And sleeping is one of the biggest escapes. Because, you know, even on the breatharian path, I see it in my own life. Like when you are still, you're so vibrant. You are you make everything on the path of breatharianism. Everything is going smooth. But then in the evening, you say, oh, I'm happy to sleep. Finally, I can forget myself a little while, you know? This is another trickery. This is like one of the last escapes, one of the last clever tricks you can play on yourself. And you have to willing to face yourself that this is also bullshit, that you are running from yourself, you know? Incredible.
Yeah, man. On a slightly different topic, I saw on one of your lives, you were talking about gaining mass, but kind of like prana or a more pranic lifestyle. How do you feel about that? Do you think that's a possibility? Because recently I've been maybe wanting to build a bit more muscle. So I've been eating more fruits, things like bananas, but they're not really resonating with me too much because they're not that watery. But I was just wondering, do you think there's a possibility that one can build mass or muscle or a good body just on prana if they're still stuck with those kind of egoic attachments to a physique? So like a young guy like myself, I'm still a bit body conscious, you know? I want to attain certain things in the physical realm. So I'm wondering how you think that relates, the physical and then the more immaterial pranic
Yeah,
First of all,
I think just to add up to that, I think I feel a lot of us in that community, at least I can totally relate to that, is there's the path of being pranic out of the body, and there's a path of being pranic that is more with the body, I feel.
And for me personally, pranic with the body is the one I feel home. And I want to tell you, Dylan, right? Yeah, Dylan, that to be a little, have a little vanity to want to be sexy, to want to be looking good, to want to be muscular, to want to be very well shaped is actually a sign of very, of mental health. It's very good to have it. It's not any sign of that we are too materialistic. Actually, it's the honoring of life itself, your avatar, your vessel, your embodiment. So I can only celebrate you for that. So, and the prana, right? To increase that. If you see every human being here, right? Why do they gain weight? Not because of the food, because of the consciousness. Someone who weighs 150 or 200 kilo, why do they gain weight? Because they want to be protected from their emotional pain they suffered in childhood. So they gain mass. And they take only external mechanisms like food. It's just the mirror, the reflection of their own consciousness, how they perceive themselves and how they want to be protected. They are not ready to show their pain. They are not ready to show their vulnerability because they are so suffering and they were hurt so much. So the gaining mass is not because of the food. It's their it's their choice. It's their choice. And the food is just the physical representation of their inner choice. So what I want to say first, food has nothing to do with gaining weight. It's your consciousness. So it's your energy directed how you want to be manifested, how your body shapeshifts, right? Okay, number one. Second, Jasmine had this pranic tour with the pendulum, right? And you could see, for example, if you take a pendulum and you say, my entire physical body is nourished by, let's say, you can say 60% prana, then you have a direction, yes or no, right? And then you see yes or no. If it's no, then you are below. If you're yes, then you are more than 60 or 60. Then you go up 70, 80, 90, 100. And then you can say, I want that my physical body is nourished by 110 or 120% prana, and then you gain mass. And then you can go back later to 100 again. So you can play around, you can shapeshift. That, you know, like I can't tell you really like someone who tried it out like this, but this is what I saw. And I can see, for example, in myself, that all I eat is just excess. Every time I eat, it just adds a little bit, but then I'm returning always back to my ideal state. I'm never gaining, I'm never losing anything, you know? Like the food is always extra. It's always extra because you're nourished by prana. It's very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, because obviously there's studies where they've just visualized doing bicep curls and they've seen an increase in muscle mass just for doing it mentally. So there's definitely mental aspects to the physical body, like you say. So do you think it's possible to regulate your cellular operations like myostatin or things for muscles just with your mind without the food?
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, you can see it even in Wim Hof already, right? We don't need to look far. Wim Hof already changes his nervous system and everything, like the blood, the heart rate and everything, the autonomous how is it called, the
autonomous nervous system.
Exactly. So
yeah,
and that also shows you can also change and shift your metabolic metabolism, your cell stuff, everything, even pranic living, etc., right? Everything, yeah. Everything you can imagine is true. There's no limit, nothing.
Mm-hmm. See, I think I do agree. It's just sometimes I find myself skeptical, as Alex has elaborated before. I like to see like an example of someone doing it. Obviously, you have got Wim Hof, but then there's a part of me that looks at him and I think he does look quite old for his age. Obviously, he's had trauma and I can't talk about what else he does, but I look at his body, his physique. Maybe he doesn't want a certain physique, but he doesn't look really fit to me. Obviously, he can regulate his internal chemistry because he was exposed to an E. coli bacteria, wasn't he? And he was able to fight that off. So I understand that. But there's a part of me that finds myself skeptical when I don't see like clear examples of where I want to be. I know like sometimes you have to be the example, you know, but if there's no role models where I want to be, sometimes I find myself being doubtful and kind of doubting the capabilities of the mind. So how do you, yeah, go on.
I want to say, okay, I can observe that quite often in people that they want that someone outside shows you how it goes and that they can trust, right? But in the end, it really, really comes down, and I'm not here trying to judge, pinpoint or whatever, right? I'm just saying how it is. If you need the evidence outside, you don't trust yourself fully yet. You trust yourself, but not to that extent. Because Wim Hof, for example, has maybe also many emotional processes inside he doesn't want to show. So maybe there's a certain barrier he creates by his consciousness. Maybe he doesn't even believe in immortality and he wants to age. And so he chooses aging, right? So the aging and stuff you can see already in him, but that he chooses for himself. So he would never, or another one would never be someone who truly can show you the ultimate evidence for Dylan, because Dylan has a unique soul imprint, has a unique path for himself. And you are the only one who's truly trusted. You are the only source that you should trust. You can take inspirations and absolute inspirations from other people, but ultimately you have to go back to yourself, and no one has the same story. No one has the same path like you, right? That's mm-hmm. That's what I feel. I personally also get inspired by many people, right? I'm watching YouTube videos and other people and talk with people. I'm really inspired by them, but ultimately I trust myself. I know even if people all would say like, it's already happening for all of us. Like nobody believed us with like some conspiracies or whatever, or believed us, don't drink tap water, don't drink this, here's the shit inside. They only don't believe you all your life. So it's the same. If people wouldn't believe that, for example, some friends of mine, they say, we want to see when you don't drink or when you don't eat. And I like, for me, this is just chatter, and it just inspires me even more to go, you know, like I'm doing this for myself ultimately. And I know it's true and it will happen. It's just a matter of time. We are in no race, no competition, and we have all the time we need for our path to realize that or embody that, you know? That's my view on it.
Yeah, I think it's important, like you say, to draw inspiration, but then ultimately all of the answers are within,
yeah,
as we know. Yeah. Go on, Alex.
Yes, I have a question, because as we are already immortal on the soul level, and we usually get a new body-mind complex, let's call it, when you talk about being immortal, is it to stay in that specific body-mind complex as long as we want and transition when we want?
Just to summarize, you mean like immortality to be in the body-mind complex as long as you want and shapeshift how you want, right? That's what the
Well, let's just say we're already immortal on a soul level. What happens is we just, like, this body mind complex dies, and then the consciousness, that's how I see it at least, the consciousness is then going into a new avatar or a new body mind complex. And that happens already. And my understanding is then when we do more conscious processes, like, we do that, but we kind of control it more on that level. Like, it's, the purpose is to choose when we transition.
Okay, so first, the reincarnation is a slavery entrapment. It's a system which is just actually encoding your soul, your physical expression, like your belief systems. They hack you, kind of hijack you when you are born into these institutions and everything. And they tell you, you will die and so on. And then later the spiritual scriptures also, many are trappings. And they say, you come back, reincarnation, karma, all this stuff. I really, like, from my heart, I feel it's all bullshit in the end, you know? Because the soul is immortal, like you said. It's living forever. As life itself, as reality consciousness itself. Hil Nothema called it from the invisible higher animated planes into the visible forms, into the lower animated planes, right? From the higher to the lower, from the invisible to the visible, from the emptiness to the fullness. Soul is always expressing immortality, foreverness, and unlimited potential. And the body itself has the same capacity. It can live forever, and it's designed in perfection to be able to live forever. Only the mental sabotage and the hijacking mode will ultimately sabotage the body to a way that your body becomes foul and stagnant, but the body is not dying. It just...
My question is to you is, don't you want a new avatar at some point after maybe 10,000 years? Don't you want, like, wings and something different?
You can always shapeshift even while you are here. And if you check your face 10 years or 20 years ago, you look completely different. When you talk lies, your face will change. When you talk truth, your face will change. The more pure you become, the crystal face will change. I am happy with my avatar because I chose it already from the other realms, like you, all of you did. You all are perfectly beautiful and happy that you chose that avatar. You chose it for yourself. It's absolutely flawless. Flawless. It's like we come into a realm and, like, let's choose another one. No, you truly chose that with all your heart, with your soul's choice, that you look like this right now.
Back to urine therapy. So my experience was like, I read about urine therapy. I was interested, but I didn't try it at the first. And then I was on a fasting retreat on juices. And those who organized that retreat, they were all practicing urine therapy. And that was the first time that I tried. I tried my urine and I said, okay. Now it was like a tea, really like a tea. And I said, okay, but this is not for me yet. And then after, I don't know, maybe two years, I read a really, really good article. And it so much resonated with me that the next day I just started. And it was in December, it will be 2 years. And what I just like to say is that you've heard about urine therapy, about that guy Tim that you met outside. And did you start immediately?
Yes.
Or did you also need some time to integrate? And
immediately, same day. You came back from the supermarket, and then, yeah, I just, you know, just directly. I also had no how do you say, aversion to my urine. I had no aversion, nothing.
Okay. And when you started, you just started drinking in the morning, your first urine, or
all of it,
all the day?
I saw quick that what they call the middle streamline stuff was another script, another program. I want to live scriptless free. I want to live without all these frames and rules and regurgitated recipes. No, man, like, we can drink all of it. We are not just the middle. We are the beginning. We are the middle. We are the end. We are all of it.
Yeah, because it said just pass some urine first and then.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's another fucking. It's so difficult. Like, why?
Why?
Do you make it
why?
So
it's
difficult?
All mine. It's all mine.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, Tim. Another question would be: what or who made the biggest impact on you? Was it the book? Was it some guy? Was it some guru? Was it your friend? What was that made you shift in the? You know what I mean to say.
In the Bretherian?
No, in everything, in that lifestyle that you have now, about the health, about the consciousness, about all the protocols or routines.
I have only one answer. It's myself.
Myself.
It's my
always.
Soul. It's my soul.
Okay.
My soul.
Okay. Because for me, it's like that. For the wisdom, for the knowledge, I was looking, and I had some, gurus who I was listening to a lot, and they helped me at that time. But now is the time I try to listen myself, my soul, and.
And look, Zizi, all the information, everything you went through in your life, it was you, and your soul was drawing all the information, even the both best books, even Hilton Otema, all this stuff, you know it already, all within you, and your soul draw that information to your life because you were yearning for it. You were calling for it, so you created a portal on the external, in this realm, you created it, and then it appeared as a book, and another soul like Hilton Otema wrote that book like some 50 years or whatever years ago, and he is now helping you through that portal you chose for yourself. In the end, ultimately, it's you. You are saving yourself. You are your own savior. But we also honor and appreciate the work and creativity of others with all our heart. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks. And I find very interested also that there are so many experts that I like it on raw food nutrition. But when you say urine therapy, they said, and they have really, really experienced 30, I don't want to name them, but really, really long experience. And they said, no, what's it? Well, totally different opinion. And I'm, what? What? I'm It's weird to me, you know. It's weird that someone who has so many experiences, so many wisdom, so much wisdom, so much knowledge, and he's not open for this stuff.
Exactly, and
I don't understand.
I completely understand what you mean, because in the end, it's not about the diets or the foods. You can be stuck with your ego or whatever in the raw vegan community, but ultimately you are just tricking yourself to not face yourself ultimately, because the urine is self and it only contains self information, but they want to play the game of raw veganism for maybe 10, 20 years. So they ultimately don't have to face reality and their own truest emotions within and their own consciousness. It's still another game they play with themselves until they are ready to feel really, okay, now I accept myself. Now I accept my urine. Now I accept my DNA. Now I accept my soul. It's another, it's a total other approach than choosing a diet. That's why the urine, they say it's the bridge between the spiritual and the material world. It's truly like accepting life as it is the first time in a complete different way, in a practical way.
Yeah, that's why I like it. Deep. I also like practical and simple things. Effective also.
Yes.
That really, yeah. What's your mission, Tim? And where do you see yourself in 5-10 years? My last question. My last question.
I feel like more and more that I don't want to have any mission anymore. No goals anymore, no objectives anymore. We had so many goals, we had so many things we planned all our lives, and I truly feel it's exhausting. I really feel now more and more the intelligence, life itself, is organizing itself perfectly, and I don't need to know anything. I'm only following my highest excitement day to day to day. And I know the immortality, like living forever, 100% true, not needing food. I can see myself already in this vision. Definitely I see a vision, you know, but I'm letting it happen automatically. It will happen automatically. And I feel when you ask a question, I feel the only thing comes up is to live my unlimited potential in full playfulness and innocence with all of you guys together. It's such a dream. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a beautiful message. Just quickly, I wanted to ask you, if one does want to help people, like they have certain goals to heal others or family members or something like that, what would be the number one thing you'd recommend as a healing modality? Would it be the urine? Would it be the fruits? What would you say is like the most accessible thing for everyone if they wanted to heal?
Definitely urine, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If I would make top three, I would make urine, dry fasting, and going back to raw foods, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you think anyone can implement urine therapy? It doesn't matter.
Everyone,
even with cancer, even with
chemotherapy, even if it's dark brown, nearly like black goo, you know, they can drink it and they will heal.
Yeah, because a lot of people, they get put off because if they're taking like medication or they think they're chronically ill, they think they shouldn't drink it. So I was just wondering, they're not going to be intaking anything bad if they drink it.
They when you see the Water of Life, the book, right? He treated people with all kinds of diseases and symptoms, and people with chemotherapy and taking a lot of medical stuff. They were drinking the black goo urine and distilled water, and they were healing themselves very quick, you know, absolutely incredible. Like, because in the end, they are disgusted by their own representation as a liquid form on the outside. It's their own mirror. And they see, oh, it's so distasteful, they say. But truly someone who really wants to heal, they look at the black mirror, and they say, I want to see myself truly. I accept it right now how I am. Drink it, and then you heal better and more and more and more, and you come back to yourself, yeah.
Okay, thanks for clearing that up, because I'm not too knowledgeable on the topic, so I didn't want to like misinform people saying you shouldn't drink it because you're chronically ill or something, you know? So thanks for that.
So actually, because you talk about this book and the healing, so I tried for 4 months, and then I got more skeptical about it. And one thing is, I talked about the role models. Another thing, when I choose to do something, I like to have role models. I like that it makes sense intuitively. And I like to have some science. So role models I shared, I'm open to it, but I didn't find such strong ones as I would find in the raw food movement, for example. Intuitively, I still have that very intuitive feeling that if my body gets rid of it, it's he wants to get rid of it. And then the science, I looked at it, and a lot of it were actually healing so many conditions with a urine fast. But what I'm also believing is that fasting is one of the greater things to cure. So when I read those stories, I didn't necessarily give credit to the urine. I was thinking, oh, of course, they fasted and they had urine, and they say it's the urine. But to me, it's like it might actually just be the fasting that cured all these conditions. Like, what do you think of that?
Yeah, I know where this question comes from. I think it comes from this from the Lauren Lockman community and everything, right? The long water fastings and everything. Let me think.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you don't believe in that too, but I believe fasting is very healing. And so then everything, like if you fast and you eat a leaf of kale every day, you could say, oh, eating a leaf of kale every day healed me, but it's probably because you had nothing else.
I would say, okay, so, I'm just going into myself right now. One moment. I feel both are just complementary to each other, very, very much. If you are fasting, what kind of fasting? For example, if it's dry fasting, it's the highest approach. It's more powerful than probably everything because it is the most similar to our natural state. That means no food and no liquids, right? If you go water fasting, it's way more complicated, way more exhausting for the body, taking all that in. Dry fasting is way simpler, and urine is already you yourself, and your body has no hard time with processing the information, and it just makes it easier. And I think it's just this maybe a more easy approach and not so hard approach sometimes for people. When people say, okay, this is only fasting, I remember my first experience with my first glass of urine and what it did to me in a few seconds. Then I can see it's not fasting necessarily. Urine has its own benefits. Urine is in the end your blood, right? And your blood is very unique. So to say we can't compare urine with fasting, I would say urine itself has very, very, very special expressions and very special benefits, or benefits is even the wrong word. It has its own power. It is its own power. Like your blood has its own power. You cannot compare your blood to Zizi's blood or to Zoe's blood, to Dylan's blood, to my blood. We all have our unique liquid essence, right? And that essence itself expresses and empowers you in different ways. When you, for example, I had a friend who was very deprived of energy once. She took aged urine, one which was aged for a long time, I think 3-4 years, put it over the head, boom! The entire depression, the entire exhaustion was gone, because that urine, your blood, aged, like essentialized, putting over your electromagnetic field directly charges you in such a way that fasting in that moment for, like, look, urine putting over in 1 second, it has that effect. So if we talk about urine and fasting, it's not comparable. It has its own power and its own effects. That's what I would say. Yeah,
I understand. My whole point was, in the books where they say urine healed, they usually do a urine fast. And to me, it's like, okay, could be the urine, but could be the fast. Well, if people kept having their usual diet and drank urine, then you could assume more easily that the urine did the healing.
Okay, shortly before Dylan comes, I have the solution here. Because then people could directly try out water fasting, dry fasting, or urine fasting, and they see the difference. And there you can see the difference, how much urine actually helps and assists in the fast. Because if it doesn't, if it would be just the fasting, then do the water fasting. But the water fasting obviously is way harder for the people and the body. And then you do urine fasting, and then you have the answer. It's way more simple.
Yeah, I think it's important we study things in isolation, but then we've also got to remember that health is like a whole holistic package. Because I find myself sometimes thinking, oh yeah, I've got all this energy just because of fruit or things like that, you know, like boxing things in. And even my question was a little bit loaded, like, what's the number one thing? Because health is a whole package, isn't it?
Yes.
You've got the consciousness, you've got the diet, things like exercise. So yeah, like you say, just try it out for yourself. I think that's quite important, because firsthand experience is ultimately the greatest teacher, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. That's just what I wanted to add.
It's perfect.
Thank you.
I think we're, like you were talking about how we're children, and then I think we get really used to being told what is true, you know, and I think that's part of the whole system too, is like we're very used to looking for answers like from some authority or I get that, like I think searching for answers is good and like wanting to see results, you know, is good. But I really it's actually like I've received some of the deepest truths from just asking myself the same question, you know? Or like you said, like I'll really be curious about something, and then suddenly that week a really amazing book about that something is like recommended to me, and it seems random, right? But yeah, so it's interesting, right? That I don't know, I don't have many questions, because a lot of what you're saying seems true, and it's so yeah. But I also am someone who really appreciates the idea of being like a child. I've always kind of had that too, where not in a way where you don't know, because that's a whole nother thing. It's like we assume that children are like not smart. Or like, so like there's that stereotype that they're inexperienced, and maybe, you know, their body is, but it's actually pretty amazing what a child already knows and is aware of, and how intelligent they actually are. And how like, and how uninhibited they are, you know? Yeah. Like how free and how much they trust themselves and things like that.
And what you say is, in the end, all what we do right now, the return to ourselves and all of us, we just help each other to remember that. We just help to each other to remember that unique voice in us. And from there on, and it's already happening, we play. And then people don't have to regurgitate, copy thousands of ideas constantly like a fucking trap. But then we can appreciate Zoe's uniqueness, Dylan's uniqueness, Zizi's uniqueness, you know? Alex, I had to check your name again. Alex's uniqueness, my uniqueness, you know? We can just finally appreciate finally the unique chant, because your body is also a music organ, right? It's why we have organs, why we have so many tubes, the eliminative organs. People always ask why we have eliminative organs. It's an incredible music organ. It's an incredible tube that makes the most perfect sounds. And all these organs have higher functions as well, you know? And I think we are just, this is what's happening. We are truly returning to our unique chant, unique voice, and then expressing it into the world. And it's becoming more and more apparent. This is happening right now. This is happening right now. And there's no stopping. There's no destruction. There's only the destruction of the old world, but it's unstoppable what's happening right now. It's we are living the unlimited again already.
You said return to ourselves, return to ourselves.
Yeah, yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
And about, before you said about those people who don't know that they have to sleep. And there are examples about kids that they lost their fingers and they didn't know, but they played with those, how do you say, the animals, small animals. They cut their and grows back. And the children.
Starfish.
Yeah, yeah. And
you're talking about the starfish that regrew its legs.
Lizards.
Oh, yeah.
Lizards.
I think starfish too, but yeah.
Yeah, but this is the intelligence. And if you don't have the concept in your mind, like a kid, the kid had a new finger growing up. That was the real cases, because the kid didn't know. He just saw on the lizard that he can have another finger or and it's possible. That was written in some books, just for entertainment.
Yeah, if I just want to quickly.
It's so easier if you don't have the concepts.
Yeah,
Zizi,
sorry.
You go. The kid regrow the finger?
Yes.
The wow, kid regrow the amazing. Finger.
Yes.
Incredible.
Mm. Mm.
Incredible. Yeah. Please send me the, if you have any information about this, I'm always happy, you know, like for the stuff.
I will send you the name of the book.
Wow, cool.
Tim, I'll send you an invite to, there's a Telegram group, and like this, Zizi, you can post it in the Telegram group, so
okay.
The wider one, so everyone can see.
Yeah,
I'm keen.
I think that was really important what Zizi shared about concepts as well, because as an athlete, I think back to like the 4-minute mile, I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that, but how they didn't think it was humanly possible for a man to run a mile in under 4 minutes. And then once, I think it was Roger Bannister mm-hmm. broke that, mm-hmm. then mm-hmm. loads of people began breaking it. So sometimes we just have to be the light, don't we? We have to lead the way, and then maybe others will follow if they choose, or we're just breaking paradigms and barriers and concepts. Yeah.
Yes. And you know, we are given all these frames and these rules and boundaries, but if you truly want to be free, you have to go away from all the rules that we have been told, you know, about sleep, about food, about age, about everything, literally everything. And that's why it's not something exceptional new. It's just very logical. It's very natural. It's very organic what happens right now. And I'm not here a special one in that sense. We are all doing that together, you know. It just appears that I'm expressing it on social media and stuff, you know. It's still a topic that is not talked about in society, and that's why it's somehow special. But in the end, it's just the very basics of who we are, you know. We are also happy.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I'm gonna go back soon because I'm helping Stuart a beautiful event at here in Ibiza. If you guys want to keep the conversation, I'm happy to give the host to someone else too.
I have to walk with the dog here. She's waiting for me.
I think it's good anyway after like almost 90 minutes in front of the screens. Like, let's go back to our beautiful lives. But thank you so much, Tim. It was really nice.
Thank you all of you and your beautiful questions and your wisdom as well. And thank you for inviting me to your space. And I really appreciate that. Thanks so much. And you know, like, we make this unlimited, we make it again the new standard, and we all help each other with this. And even this conversation, like all of us, we already spread it into the world automatically. It will be very powerful and will reach again probably at least 50, 100 or whatever people, and they will also put it again forth. You know, like, it's amazing, domino effect.
Yeah, you know, I'll put it on YouTube, and usually I'd get easily like 300 or 400 in the next like month or two. If you want to help spread, that's amazing. And you know, people might seem it's not huge because there are YouTube channels with millions, but actually when you think about it, if 300 people listen to that, that's a pretty big deal. So it's awesome.
Definitely, yeah.
Word of mouth travels fast as well. You only need to plant a seed in one person's head. You never know, that person might go on to be a famous public speaker or something and share that message years later. You just don't know. And it's an important message to share regardless, even if it reaches one person. That could be one person's consciousness shifted for the better.
For me, it was amazing. I like it very, very much. Yeah, it was really, really amazing.
Yeah, and thanks, Zizi, for organizing it.
Yes. Yeah, no problem. We have another meeting this week with Tim on Friday. Yeah, two times. I'm so glad.
Thank you, Zizi, for the invitation.
Thank you, Tim.
Okay, shall I say hasta la vista or what?
Hasta la vista.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Ciao, huh?
Bye-bye.
Bye. See you guys. Much love.